The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. This is a numbers game. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland live from Circa.
Heyo.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm all right. Been good. Something's annoying me this morning we've got to get to. First of all, Zach and Crack today. Zach Cohen joins us to talk Indian Wells tennis, some NBA, whatever he's betting. And then Crack, of course, Bill Krakenberger, unscripted for an hour, as we do each and every Thursday. In between, Tim Murray, college hoops, as conference tournaments in full swing and beyond. We'll get to that Alabama-Florida game last night as well. I just want to say, though, the thing that is annoying me this morning, and maybe this is partially because we live where we live, but, you know, there's always the stuff that happened in the NFL yesterday. DK Metcalf wants a trade, and Joey Bosa got cut by the Chargers. The one that is annoying me is the so Max Crosby gets the largest contract for a non-quarterback ever. And right after the comma of that sentence, everybody's going with, and maybe he can lure, there might be some word that he can lure Aaron Rodgers to Las Vegas, right? This is like a whole thing. And it's, and I'm just, how short are people's memories? Like, Max Crosby essentially made Mark Davis keep Antonio Pierce. He's like the most powerful guy in the organization. No, he is. He really is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's most powerful guy in the organization. He's dictating decisions that shouldn't be made. Forget at the ownership level. Forget at the coaches level. Forget at the GM's level. It should be made at defensive lineman's level.
So, like, here's the problem, though. It's the star player uses their voice, right?
Yeah, but this isn't the NBA.
Usually it's not a defensive end, but who else is a star on the Raiders?
I'm so annoyed by this. It's like, okay, so what if you, like, you don't want him trying to lure Aaron Rodgers here? What do you,
I do not know how Aaron Rodgers would be the best decision for the long-term plans of the Las Vegas Raiders.
I don't understand anything. College basketball, this game last night between Alabama and Florida. Florida gets it done, beats Alabama. And Alabama gives up a cool 99 on their home court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 99-94. Florida gets it done. And, you know, I joke all the time because I've known Houston Millett since he was a kid. I know I'm good friends with his father, but Houston Millett, who was redshirted by Alabama this year, then Wrightsell ruptured his Achilles. And so then Houston came off and then he got hurt. They're going to try to medical redshirt and have him eligible next year. But that doesn't mean anything to this year. He would have provided at least some modicum of defense. I know people think I'm like, oh, that's your buddy, so that's why you're saying. Nah, I mean, I just wonder. You didn't make your Alabama bet, did you?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah, I told you I was gonna wait for this tough part of the schedule.
I have an Alabama ticket, right? I just don't genuinely believe that they can get to the promised land.
Okay.
And listen, I mean, can they? Let's say they're a 2 seed now. You're gonna look up at Duke, Auburn, Florida, or Houston in your region. What are you smiling about?
No, I just had to erase a question out of "Are we sure next?"
Oh. Oh, did I?
I was adding one as you were talking.
Oh, okay.
But you just answered it.
Oh, okay. Are we sure coming up, by the way? Estamos seguros.
Basically, are we sure Alabama can still win a national championship? No, Gil is not.
I genuinely don't believe. Do I want them to? Of course, because I have a ticket. Do I genuinely believe it? No.
Yeah.
No. You at some point, because look, they have the variance of offense. You know, we have Peter Keating on, who used to be at ESPN, the magazine, ESPN The Chalk, year after year, doing the Giant Killer segment. What are the characteristics? We hope to have him on in the next couple of weeks. What are the characteristics of a team, necessary? What team does that apply to author an upset in the NCAA tournament? And then what is the, conversely, what are the characteristics of a team, a giant that can be killed? Right. And I just think with Alabama, it's just so obvious that it's like at some point, can they get to the Sweet 16 and maybe even the Final Four, Elite Eight? Sure. But beyond that, when they play the big teams, you just wonder. You really do wonder. And then I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say 2-3 in their last five. It's all been tough ranked teams out of the SEC.
It's a gauntlet at the end here, too. Right. It's Tennessee, Florida and Auburn to close. How they lost that Tennessee game at the end in regulation was almost impossible, yet they figured out a way to do that. On the other hand, let me just say this about our college basketball formula, our tried and true college basketball formula, which we won't go through now, but we do every Monday. We sort of update it every Monday on the show. and, you know, with the exception again of the 2014 UConn Huskies and then a couple teams that didn't make the Sweet 16, one of which was the 2014 UConn Huskies, not didn't make the Sweet 16, but their coach hadn't coached in a Sweet 16 in any prior year. 2014 UConn Huskies, 2023 UConn Huskies with Danny Hurley, Kevin Ollie in the previous case. I don't think, if I look back on those teams, right, those are the exceptions of the Sweet 16 coaches, you know, provision in that formula. 2014 UConn Huskies were a 7 seed that won the national championship. They didn't even win their conference tournament. I think they finished 3rd in their conference that year in the AAC, if I'm not mistaken. And then the 2023 UConn Huskies, they were an at-large in the NCAA tournament. They were a 4 seed. So it wasn't like you were terribly, I mean, listen, on the Beating the Book Megapod, Todd called it. Like, he had UConn winning the national championship. He had UConn in the final. So it wasn't like completely out of the blue. But what I'm getting at here is with Florida, cutting to the chase, I don't think I ever remember a team that hasn't qualified in the formula. And keep in mind, the only 3 teams that have now for our first 2 weeks are Auburn, Duke, and Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Florida can't qualify because Todd Golden has never coached in a Sweet 16 before. I don't think I ever remember a team. I could be prisoner of the moment, but I don't think I ever remember a team where I felt could burst the formula more than I do this Florida team.
Well, that's going to be a problem because I'll probably just be hate betting against them the entire tournament. Yeah. So that could end up.
Why will you hate bet against them?
It's the University of Florida. I don't want to see them have any success.
Forgot
Come on.
Who I'm talking to.
I'm all my father went there. My brother went there. My mother went there. Nah, they're going to be obnoxious as hell.
Oh, wait. You have generations of University of Florida?
Yeah.
You went to FSU?
Yeah.
Oh, they must think you're such a idiot. Fill in the blank.
Couldn't get in.
I figured midway through that sentence, I probably shouldn't finish it.
there's some split family. I have some cousins that went to Florida State. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little split.
Oh, I thought
a little family rivalry.
I thought you were the black sheep. Who was the black sheep? Okay. Tennis yesterday, not off to a great start at Indian Wells. Tennis is de facto 5th major. By the way, do we have an alarm sounding here? What's going on here with the lights? Are you seeing the lights flashing? Maybe it's just me.
Paramedics.
Let's start with the futures first. Yesterday, the only big name player that was playing in the tournament, because they sort of, you know, slow play into the first round. They don't have it's over 3 days. I shouldn't say slow play, but the biggest name that was playing yesterday, because they're saving the bigger names for the weekend, was Naomi Osaka. Gone. She gone. One and done.
Oh.
Naomi Osaka loses to Camila Osorio. We did not have that one. We have made many winning wagers on Osorio in the past, always as a dog. I didn't see it yesterday, and she takes down Osaka.
Wow.
In straights.
I was wondering why these odds moved as much as they did.
Straight? Well, they didn't move that much. Not at the top, anyway.
Iga jumped. She's a favorite at DraftKings, though.
Because she should be the favorite. Because she's the greatest player in the world.
But is that, were they same quarter?
No, Osaka's in Q3.
Oh, okay.
So the Q3 was the one where I had both Osaka and Pegula, and that's precisely why, right? That's the one where, so even though Osaka's down, it's not like we're out of that quarter because Jesse Pegula still exists and we have her at plus 550. But Osaka's out. Goodbye. So there's a, we couldn't have 2 winners of Q3. She was going to, one of them had to lose eventually. I just didn't know it was going to be the first day.
Right, yeah.
And Osaka
wasn't exactly the plan, but yeah.
Osaka was halfway to Miami for the second part of the Sunshine Double. She's like, forget these slow hards. I want the fast hards. So she's going to Miami. She's out. Then with our picks yesterday, we went 1-2. Now, some folks are going, if you bet it at MGM or DraftKings specifically, you did go 1-3. Most folks go 1-2. By the way, we always count the withdrawals, matches that don't finish. We always count them record wise as being, you know, X's, because most people have that. And goodness, it's nice to be on one right side of a withdrawal in the middle of a match, because we've been on the wrong side of so many of those. But Renata Zarasua, her left knee was bothering, so she withdrew after a set and a game. So we end up with a win on Tristan Boyer yesterday, so the daytime was great. We were fine. We're like, okay, we got a win on Boyer. Most people didn't lose on Zarasua. But then at night, it just went crazy. We were 2 matches, and they were both very odd. First of all, the one I liked the most, Luca Nardi, he got bageled in the first set and just run off the court by Scam Norrie.
Wow.
As Drew calls him, Cam Norrie. And then Volley Nets, she bagels Kruger in the first set. We're like, all right, well, we'll just make this one back. And then she gets rolled in the next two sets. So we're off to a choppy start there at Indian Wells day one. Day two, though, we got three plays today, Kelly. Count them. Three.
Let's go. And I love all the names.
I think these, you do like the names.
Yeah.
I think all three of these are right around the price. Nothing's like terribly off. One on the men's side, Benjamin Bonzi, minus 108 against Jensen Brooksby. This is just a play against a guy in Brooksby who at one point was a very promising player, was on the come up. You're like, oh, he's one of these great young players that'll be good for years to come. He's been off the tour for 2 years. Bonzi is not a great tennis player, but he is much more sort of in the flow of things. So Bonzi is the play at minus 108. And then on the ladies' side, Kimberly Burrell, who we won on in a match here in the last couple weeks, she was number one in qualies, and she's doing very well. She's going up against Victoria Golubic, and Burrell is the pick there. And then the number three one, which has become a little favorite of ours here in recent weeks.
That's right.
And I just feel like the market does not properly assess her. Maya Joint.
Fire up another joint, Gil.
Minus 107 against Sarana Shirstea.
By the way, Jensen Brooksby is very much like an Austin Smotherman name.
Oh, my God.
Like, country clubbing for days, those guys, man.
Hasn't met any of my people in his entire life. He knows none of us.
Brooksby, yeah. Oh,
Jensen Brooksby. So anyway, it's Bonzi, Burrell, and Joint. Or what did you say this morning via text? Bonds, Barrel, and Joint?
Yeah, Bonds, Barrel, and Joint.
Bonds, Barrel, and Joint. Those are the three plays at Indian Wells, which, again, is an all-day affair there at the Indian Wells Tennis Garden. In, what is it officially? Coachella Valley, I guess?
Yeah, it's not, yeah.
Indio? Someone will have to tell me. We're coming back. Tim Murray, Zach Cohen, Zach's First, next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out articles like Adam Burke's Missouri Valley and West Coast Conference Tournament Previews, Greg Peterson's best bets in college basketball, and Mike Somage's early Kentucky Derby contenders. And later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's best bets in the NBA, Jonathan Davis's NHL best bets, and Tyler Shoemaker's college basketball best bets. Get all access to all of it, all the articles, VSiN.com for free through Selection Sunday at VSiN.com/Champ Week. How about that? /Champ Week.
I like it.
Do you have that thing happening here where you have zero friends come into town for months at a time, and then 25 of them show up the very same week?
Yeah, does that ever happen? It's really obnoxious.
That's my next
actually
week.
The regular Vegas thing I figured out since I've moved here with friends, they get all excited about booking or planning a trip, right? Mm-hmm. And call you, and they're like, hey, I'm coming like in 6 months from now. And I'm like, all right, great. Like, I'm going to totally forget about that. So Let me know a couple weeks out, right?
Yeah.
And then they never do. And it's like, hey, man, I'm getting on the plane right now. I'll see you tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
It's awesome because everybody's coming to town.
It's awesome, yes.
It sucks that it's all at the same time. And obviously it's induced by college basketball tournaments because everybody's coming to either bet on college hoops, go to college hoops. They might happen to be an AD of a college hoops team. Like, there's all kinds of folks who are coming in. And you just can't possibly manage it correctly. Because they're like, hey, want to go to dinner on Thursday? Like, well, what would I tell these people if I go to dinner on Thursday? Right? So there's that. And then there's the wife and the kids, right? Who are like, hey, you coming home? Oh, I'm not.
and then, you know, you have to be up very early in the morning to do a radio show.
By the way, I don't have a wife and kids, but it's similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went with it.
Basically, wife and kids. Okay. Are we ready for Are We Sure?
Yes, we are.
Estamos seguros.
Okay. Are we sure? I feel like I need to add a couple of these. Are we sure the Titans are going to make the first pick in the NFL draft?
No, we're not. It feels like if the draft, what's the consensus, right? The consensus right now is that the Giants are going to trade up and pick Cam Ward number one, correct? That's the current consensus on March 6th.
Yes. Except, I mean, DraftKings team to make first pick odds, it's minus 110. I checked it yesterday
on the Giants
and Titans.
Oh, both of them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure that the Titans are going to do it because if Joe Shane, did I get that right this time? If Joe Shane decides to, like, you know, trade the kitchen sink to the Titans, and the Titans are only, what, they only go down to the third pick, Titans will be like, cool, we wanted Abdul Carter anyway, or whatever they want, Trabzon or anyway. So, no, absolutely not sure it'll be the Titans.
Okay, are we sure Cam Ward is the first overall pick?
Yeah, that I'm kind of sure. No, well, no, I guess I'm not. Listen, what we got from everybody from the combine was that Cam Ward is way ahead of Shedeur Sanders. So if you ask me, is he the first quarterback picked? I would say yes, I'm sure. I don't know why, but yeah, I'm sure about that. Why they would make him the consensus number one.
Right.
Am I sure he's going number one? Not 100%, because if the Titans end up keeping it, they seem to have this thing. I don't know, a memo to the Titans. They seem to feel like they're fine at, like, are they fine at quarterback? Or they just don't feel like either of these quarterbacks are any good. So I couldn't really begrudge them that, right? Because maybe they have made the assessment. Yeah, this isn't really the year. We don't like Cam Ward. We don't like Shedeur Sanders. By the way, did you hear the feedback that from some unnamed source where they thought Shedeur was arrogant? Did you see that one?
Oh, yeah. That was an interesting story.
Yeah.
Because apparently that was, I want to say Josina Anderson had that out. But like apparently he's been nothing but great with media and everything. And a lot of the press came away really impressed. But then, yeah, multiple front offices and coaches having little comments about his attitude.
So I'm not 100% sure that a quarterback will go number one, but I'm closer to 100% sure on that than I am the first one, which is the Titans picking one.
Gotcha. Are we sure Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf will be a Seahawk next year?
Apparently not. If he wants to, you know, if he wants to force his way out. It's not the NBA, but maybe he'll make enough noise that he will be. So no, not 100%.
Did you catch the... So I, when this first came down yesterday, I was like, okay, if they do trade him, there's going to have to be an extension probably for him. There's going to be a contract extension. So you got to factor that in. The first thing I saw was just a third round pick. And then this morning, somehow that became a third and a first for DK Metcalf. And I'm like, that's the asking price. He's not going anywhere. I love Metcalf. I am one of his big, like a biggest fans, but a first and a third wide receiver who's played for multiple years now.
Well, and also, like, you know, I mean, DK Metcalf is not, when people say, okay, who's the best receiver in the NFL, his is not the name that comes up, right?
No.
It's the next.
But I'd probably put him top 10.
Yeah, he's in the next tier, let's say, but he's not Justin Jefferson, he's not Jamar Chase, so it's not, it's like, really, you're going to trade a first and, no. And again, Debo, say what you will, he was hurt, and now Debo's a few years away from great production. They traded a fifth for him. The Cowboys traded a fourth for Mingo. I know there was something coming back in the Washington case also, and in the Dallas case, but generally these are the asking rates for such players. So third and first for DK, I don't see that.
That's right. Like, I thought third plus an extension. Okay. That kind of all made sense. I saw the first tacked on today. I was like, well, okay, I don't know if that's happening. All right. Are we sure Duke should be the favorite to win the NCAA tournament?
No, because I think it's Auburn. I think Auburn has every right to say that they should be the favorite, too, at this point. But I don't think it's egregious that Duke is the favorite. I do think it's a cluster of teams at the top. I would make it probably fewer teams than others would. Right. Duke right now plus 350, Auburn plus 370. Doesn't get much closer than that, Kelly. And then it's Florida and Houston, both at 8-1, followed by Tennessee and Alabama. Iowa State after that. Yeah, I mean, I'm not 100% sure they should be, but it's not egregious.
Are we sure that Janiyah Broome has no chance to win the Wooden Award? Because he keeps drifting.
Chance? No, not 100%. No chance. But it's starting to feel that way.
Cooper Flagg, big favorite now.
Yeah.
All right, to the NBA. Are we sure Cade Cunningham will win Most Improved Player?
Oh, Jesus.
You're just tired talking about this, aren't
you? Well, no, I just like... You know, it's like, okay, how can we lose this? Well, if Norm Powell got hurt, well, that's what happened.
Yeah, he did. Heavy Dyson Daniels steam the other day into this market. He is now your second favorite on the board, plus 350.
Yeah, and by the way, Norm Powell became the favorite because Franz Wagner got hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like the transitive property here happening.
Yeah, you just got to survive.
Or whatever.
I mean, Cade's been up there basically the whole year, but it's like you're talking about. It's you got to survive to the end. It's part of betting on these awards.
Of all your questions thus far, this feels like the one that I'm 100% sure about. It feels like him.
Yeah, I think it's probably done too. All right, are we sure? One more award. Are we sure Evan Mobley will win Defensive Player of the Year?
This one I have no idea, because you have no idea what these guys are thinking with this. But it feels like it now. A little bit, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. Not even close to 100%.
I can't get to the window with a bet on this, Gil, but I think he's probably a bigger favorite than minus 200 if you were just polling voters today on this. they're going to do the lazy way out, and Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to miss some time now, and you're basically looking at the two bigs that matter the most here. I think there are going to be a lot of lazy voters that go to Mobley.
The betting community's thirst for trying to make this a Dyson Daniels thing. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, Michael Montesano and myself.
Michael Montesano, yes.
Wow. Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah. We were texting the other day. Dyson Daniels getting a lot of steam at most improved player. It makes a lot more sense than defensive player of the year.
That's right.
It's kind of like the one bet I'm mad at myself. I didn't make it some way this year.
Let's put it this way. As we talk about these NBA awards, they're all becoming way clearer suddenly.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
They are. Yeah, I mean, that's what happens. It's another thing about betting awards, right? We probably don't mention that enough, but when you're running out of runway, it becomes a little bit clearer of what's really going to happen. All right, a couple tennis props up at Caesars I caught yesterday. Are we sure Iga should be minus 250 to win a Grand Slam this season?
Yes. 100%. Well, I'll tell you why, right?
Please do.
She's minus 175 to win the French, right? She's won four of them. She's dominant on clay. So there's your minus 175 already, and there's two other slams.
Yep.
So, yes, minus 250 sounds just about right to me.
Okay, figured I'd get that answer for that one. Now, Carlos Alcaraz, are we sure he should be minus 250 to win a Grand Slam?
Ooh, that one's a little tougher.
That one felt a little too steep to me.
Yeah, what's your reason? I'll tell you what my reason is.
Well, I just did the simple ego math for the French.
Oh.
Carlos isn't that big a favorite for the French.
Well,
right?
No, and the reason is that Yannick Sinner exists. And Yannick Sinner, who, I don't know if you followed the whole doping thing, but he got the old proverbial slap on the wrist, where it's like, okay, we'll suspend you here, but we'll have you back in time for all the majors.
Yeah, well, is he out now?
He's out now.
Right,
he's not
so
at
he'll
Indian
be
Wells.
Back for all,
so
yeah.
So he'll be back for the French.
Alcaraz plus 110 to win the French.
I just think Sinner on hard courts is clearly the favorite at the U.S. Open. Alcaraz could absolutely win one of these, and maybe he wins the French. Maybe he wins the at Wimbledon. But he hasn't looked his best in recent times either. So, and Djokovic has gotten the best of him the last couple times. So I don't know. Alcaraz, he just needs to sort of focus a little more, because I think he's taken he's at the top of the heap. About a quarter step back, let's say, for Carlitos. So Iga's much more 100% than Carlos's number. We will come back. Zach Cohen, all of his tennis bets today, what he's betting in the National Basketball Association as well. And then Tim Murray on college hoops, all the conference tournaments. Not all of them, but half of them in full swing. Let's put it that way. Not even half. The small ones. You know what I'm talking about. Double digits worth. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. That's 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is in A Numbers Game.
Not very creative lately. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Used to come up with other things back when we were at the D. You were more inspired. You would come up with
ANG as in a new gig.
Here at Circa, he's just very comfortable. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Trip Tepper. If the Las Vegas Raiders sign Rodgers, then Pete Carroll can rebrand them as the Legion of Boomers.
I see what he did there. That's a quality dad joke,
nice,
actually.
Nice well job, done. Trip. Well done. Jeff Cam. Bama is that one girlfriend you had that you can't shake. She's going to be better. Well, I'm done with my girlfriend, Alabama. Bet them again and get disappointed again. Yeah, I hear you, Jeff. Yeah. I feel you. Bobby Geddes. A great tennis podcast. We did the Beating the Book Indian Wells podcast. Drew, Zach, and I. We have a great time doing it. He says, great tennis pod as always, boys. Recommend to anyone who follows tennis at any level. Thank you for that, Bobby. We appreciate that. Although he says, I do have to double check. I click the right podcast every time I hear Ryan Seacrest talking about Shaw's Supermarket at the beginning. We don't have anything to do with the ads.
You never know what you're going to get with the ads. Yeah. You never know.
those are by far not the worst, believe me. Speaking of that tennis pod, Zach Cohen joins us, part of the whole glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX. Our VSiN senior editor. How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing very well. We were just talking off air. I didn't know how your day went. You said you did not have a great day one either.
Yeah. I had some brutal beats yesterday, but usually I like to think that I bounce back the next day after a really bad day. So hopefully we'll get back today.
Me too. What did you end up with today?
So one of the ones I have today is Jensen Brooksby to beat Benjamin Bonzi.
Oppo.
Side bet.
Oh man, I'm curious to see what you think. I think that Bonzi is, you know, just struggling for form coming into this match, and Brooksby, you know, has not won a match at the ATP level since 2023. I'm sure that factored into your handicap,
yes.
But he has, you know, looked a little bit better at the challenger level. I thought that he played pretty well in San Diego last week. Looked a little bit better against Tommy Paul at his most recent ATP match. And Bonzi is just the type of player that I really worry about in these slower conditions. I think he's a little one-dimensional in that he's kind of a big server, big forehand guy, and Brooksby plays really good defense. I think if it, you know, we see a lot of longer points, the American will probably get the better of him. And I do think that Brooksby feels, you know, somewhat good about his chances here, which is why he used a protected ranking to get into the main draw.
Yeah, he did use a protective ranking. I don't hate your thinking. It's certainly not my highest conviction play of my life, let's put it that way. But yes, part of it is the fact that Jensen Brooksby, a 2-year layoff. And yeah, I feel like Bonzi good enough. Although I will tell you this too, you know, I always say about in baseball, for those who've been listening to the shows for long enough, that Irvin Santana was my kryptonite when it came to baseball. If I ever backed Irvin Santana as a pitcher, he pitched horribly. Whenever I faded him, he was Cy Young, right? There's a couple players like that on the ATP tour that are Irvin Santana-esque for me. One is Karen Khachanov, and the other might be Benjamin Bonzi. So. Trying it again here.
All right, guys. I would say Tiafo and Dimitrov are mine. I never get any of their matches right.
Grigor? I got it figured out, all right?
Yeah.
Gil wins. Zach's got to host ANG with Crack, so we actually get the Zach and Crack duo for like a whole show, okay? Now, Zach wins. Gil has to write all of Zach's tennis articles for a week.
Oh.
Great side bet. Just, you know, think about it. You can get back to me later.
Zach gets the much more fun loss, by the way.
He's got to come all the way up.
This
here.
Sounds like
he's
a terrible bet.
In studio. He's got to come all the way
oh,
up.
Oh, I lost.
I'm sure the powers that be would enjoy me hosting the show for the entire week.
Oh, I lost. I get to hang out with Crack for an hour. Meanwhile, me like toiling away doing like NBA articles.
I really want to see you writing for a week. That's what I want to
see. And then the Grizzlies came to town. Nah, whatever. Okay, so you're on. We're Oppo on that one. What's next?
I have Julio Zepieri to beat Adam Walton. I got that at plus 138. I think it's out there at plus 146 now. It's another similar one where Walton is just a player that I think it relies a little bit too much on his serve and forehand and, you know, in this power game. And I just think that the way we watched these matches yesterday, it was very, very slow. I know that, you know, the courts are supposed to be a little bit quicker with the new surfaces, but I thought it looked a lot like Indian Wells where players were really struggling to hold. So I think that Zepieri has a good shot at, I think he has a little bit of a better serve for these conditions. And I think he's got a really strong lefty forehand. He uses a lot of topspin and kind of controls points with that shot. So I just think he's going to be a little bit better off in longer rallies. Although Zepieri is another player that not very proven at this level. I mean, it's different situation than Brooksby, but I do feel pretty good about that as a plus money number.
Yeah. And you were right on the podcast. It feels like the conditions haven't changed much, if at all. Right.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything noticeable. Maybe, you know, bouncing a little bit lower, but still high. I don't know. If it's something, you know, I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah, nor am I. Anything else?
I have a parlay with João Fonseca to win and Nuno Borges to win. Just two guys that are up there, like minus 250, minus 300. I think Fonseca is playing fairly, a player that is, you know, really solid from the baseline, but I just think kind of lacks the weapons to hit through the court right now. And Fonseca has had some bad losses over these last few weeks. I think maybe, you know, the pressure of kind of becoming a household name is getting to him, but I just think that his firepower is going to be a little bit tough for Fairley to deal with. And Borges is playing Arthur Rinderknecht, and man, I think the Frenchman is struggling lately, and another player that I do not see doing well on these courts.
No, the big servers are going to have all kinds of trouble here. Anything, by the way, if of course, if Fonseca wins, it's Fonseca and Draper most likely, right? Does Draper have a bye? I'm not sure if he has a bye, so maybe he does. So then it would be Fonseca Draper, which would be an epic second round match. Anything else?
Yeah. Not yet. I'm okay. Looking at a few. I'll probably dive back into it after I write my NBA story today, but there were a few leans. I want to look back at Monfils. I think that he's got a really good shot today against Struff.
What is your NBA story today that you just alluded to?
I'm just going to be doing my best bets and player props. I've not yet written it. I have them kind of written down here. One of the ones I like is Knicks +4. And I think I'm going to be on the money line at +145. I'm not a big believer in this Lakers team. I know, you know, Kelly and JVT, we were texting a little bit about how, you know, they've been a little bit fortunate defensively with giving up a lot of open threes and not playing many teams that are knocking them down. But the Knicks are 8th in the league in 3-point percentage. I think the Knicks have what it takes to kind of pick apart this defense, and Carl Anthony Towns is not on the injury report, so he will be playing tonight.
What is your, if we were doing the Zach Cohen NBA betting pie, and this applies to you too, Kelly, it'll bring you in.
Get him, Willie.
What just happened?
Well, he's betting against the Lakers tonight.
Get him, wet Willie Cullen? Yeah.
Get him,
Willie. Sick him. What percentage of your betting pie is sides totals? What is props?
I would say most of it is sides totals. I am doing the player props for us. I think it's something that I was not really doing very heavily before coming on with VSiN. So I'm just kind of putting a few in a night, but I think I'm mostly going, you know, 3-4 sides a night and, you know, 1 or 2 props.
Yeah. Pre-game 90% sides and totals for me, 10% props.
Yeah. I think
if we incorporate live betting into the pie, that becomes a lot more complicated, but
primetime action, we were super props heavy. I think we were on to something in terms of reflecting the betting undercurrent. Let's just put it that way. I feel like it is a much larger thing than we know.
I always give props to Dustin Sweetelson. I think he does a great job with the player props. Just of some of the easiest places to start with the NBA, star player out or star player 1 and 2 out, who's going to make up the production? And it's
okay. But since you're both NBA guys, and I asked you this off air, I'm going to ask it on air. I feel like when it comes to NBA handicapping, right, the thinking makes sense, right? The thinking has a lot to do with rest. The thinking obviously has to do with, oh, this player's out. Can the production be made up? That sort of thing. Giving you truth serum right now, what percentage of the time does that actually manifest into a winning bet? Is it a coin flip? Do you feel like it is a reliable thing? Do you feel like it's more just, hey, the justification is good, so I got to go with it? I guess I'm just asking as a non-NBA guy, non-NBA bettor, that is. On a daily
basis. I'm down a little bit this year. So I think that, you know, putting really good work in the morning has been, you know, to my detriment a few times this season. I've had a lot of bad luck in terms of injury report stuff where guys are questionable and end up getting ruled out. So I think it's factoring in more than ever where, you know, you could have a good cap on a game and it just kind of gets, you know, thrown away because guys are, you know, pulling themselves out, you know, an hour before tip off.
Yeah. I'm not casting dispersions on the handicappers themselves. I'm just, it's sort of on the league, right? Where it's like, how can you figure out this puzzle?
Yeah, I mean, but that's what it is, right? So you're trying to figure out a puzzle. What we can at least do is project whatever, you know, if a main star is out, project how that usage is going to be spread out to the rest of the team. We try to compare it to prop numbers and take advantage of it that way, but guys still got to go out there and make buckets, right?
Well, that's what I mean. Yep. And so how many times if you find yourself running into a wall over and over, like at some point you just got to be like,
It's another one we've talked about before, like not every situation is created equal, right? Just because there's a star out doesn't mean you're going to go and bet this guy's player prop,
this,
right?
This is the Dr. Bob thing, right? Like, he was so great at quantifying injuries where it's like, yeah, basketball's this weird alchemy. Just because you take out the star player doesn't mean they're going to be less efficient, maybe even more efficient now. Zach, when's the NBA piece with your best bet coming out?
I'll be done in about an hour.
Okay. Not to put you on a deadline or anything.
Hey, take your time.
Yeah, take your time. VSiN.com for all of Zach's work. Good luck with the tennis today, my friend. Betting on X is where you can find Zach. Tim Murray on College Hoops next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beanie the Book, B. Morianen, Brian M. What did you do to piss off Kelly this morning with that side bet? Yeah, that was a terrible exchange, hypothetical side bet.
I thought it was great.
That was terrible. Because I would have gotten the worst of it either way, where I'm like, well, not either way, but like there was no incentive for me to join that bet.
Yeah. I don't think there was much incentive for either one of you.
Yeah, maybe not. Logic 3227, yo. I know exactly what you mean, Gil. Garrett Cole and the Yankees in general are my Irvin Santana. We all have that in betting. You have that in a sport, in basketball, maybe a team, or in golf, a player. There's got to be a golfer.
Well, recently, his name's Keith Mitchell.
Yes, you love Keith Mitchell.
There's several. Gary Woodland. the Miami Heat of late.
Yeah.
Since the bubble, the Miami Heat.
The Miami Heat have messed with you for a bunch of years now.
Yeah, because I had a great ticket on them in the bubble, and then...
And then you didn't play them.
And then
they,
I didn't play them.
That's right. And then they did big things. Let's see. This is from Cheap Prop Bets. There was also in baseball, too, before I get to Cheap Prop Bets. There was also in baseball, Joey Votto and Brett Gardner were the two players. Like, if I was fading the Reds or the Yankees and they came up in a big situation... I swear they must have batted 848 or something. They always came through against you. Cheap prop bets. Player props becoming more liquid with higher limits. I feel it's becoming something sharps pay a bit more attention to versus in the past. Cheap prop bets. We used to, listen, on Primetime Action, we used to do NBA prop bets heavy on that show. And it's not universal, right? Because certain, let's take a Vegas book. A Vegas book, I guess they don't offer a plethora of props?
No.
Yeah. So it's not going to be like a big thing, but where it is offered, I can tell you, I have some insight of how big it is, and it's way bigger than we imagine. Good friend Chillionaire, I second Kelly in shouting out Dustin Sweetelson in player props for the NBA. Dustin is locked in. And on a side note, how can we not acknowledge the Bearded Brothers when they are live betting on a Sunday? Truly magnificent content. My second favorite after ANG. There's a shout out for you and Dustin.
That is a nice compliment right there.
You guys should call your show the Bearded Brothers.
Dustin's been trying to work on that for a while.
Yeah. The Bearded Brothers. Tim Murray joins us now, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at @1TimMurray. He, of course, the host of VSiN Primetime and VSiN Weekend Morning Line. How you doing, Tim?
I'm good, Gil. I'm wishing my beard was a little better than Dustin and Kelly, so I could be part of the Bearded Brothers, but I'm more of the Stubble Brothers, so I don't know if that has the same cachet, you know?
Tim, you're always welcome. You're always welcome.
Okay? Always invited. Hey, Tim, so what's this thing? So you wanted to bet Jani Broome. He was like north of $4. Then he became a favorite for a minute, but now he's drifting again, so you can't be upset about this anymore, right, that you didn't bet it?
Well, no, I mean, I think I'm upset about that. I didn't grab Cooper Flag. I'm just, I'm all out of sorts. I am now, Cooper Flag has become the favorite, and JBT and I talked about this a week ago or so, just discussing why this should be a pick 'em market. And now it's probably gone too far though, when it comes to the Wooden Award on the other side. But yeah, I have zero exposure on this market, but right now you can get Broome at 4-1 at FanDuel. I do think Cooper Flag is the favorite. Do I think he should be -550? No, but I think the consistency, the fact that he didn't miss a couple games due to injury, he did win the head-to-head matchup these two teams played. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're really nitpicking between Flag and Broome. But, you know, last two games, Broome has not been, you know, player of the year level Jani Broome. So, I think Cooper Flag is the rightful favorite now. And, you know, the irony is that a week ago today, Cooper Flag was +240. This market, Gil, and someone like yourself who studies it as, you know, like swings in markets, it's pretty wild to see the ebbs and flows in this market where, you know, 2 weeks ago, Broome was a massive dog. Then he becomes a massive favorite. And now he's back to the massive dog in the Wooden Award market.
Yeah, crazy. And you're probably right. You could justify it for both guys, for sure. Okay, let's begin with conference tournaments in terms of outrights. Is there a conference tournament, pardon me, that's going on this week that you like a play in?
Yeah, and I think you talked to Jim Root, I want to say yesterday, so there might be some echoing of sentiments here, but I think a number of us are intrigued by Bradley in the Missouri Valley. I think DraftKings still hanging a +340 out there. You know, look, this is a team that split its season series against Drake. There's no home field advantage, no home court advantage in this particular conference tournament. There's no reseeding. So, you know, DraftKings hanging a +340 on Bradley, I think is pretty tempting, considering if Bradley is able to get to the championship game, that it will not be that significant of an underdog to Drake. There will be an underdog, but maybe not that significant. And, you know, the other one that's kind of interesting is the Horizon League right now. So the Horizon League is a conference tournament that continues today. We've got the quarterfinals today, and then it reseeds and goes to Indianapolis on Monday. So you have home court tonight, and then you go to a neutral floor. And look, I think Milwaukee is the rightful favorite, in my opinion. But I think if you look at you know, Bart Torvik, and you look at who's been playing well over the last little over a month, I think Northern Kentucky is an interesting option as a long shot. I'm not saying they should be 10-1 or anything like that. I think that, you know, like I said, I think Root came on your program and gave out, you know, 40 or whatever it was to one. But they're an interesting play today, too. They're catching 4.5 on the road at Cleveland State. And if you look at just recent form, this is a team that is playing as the second best team in this conference over the last, you know, 6 weeks. So I think Northern Kentucky plus 4.5 tonight is an interesting angle to look at. But, you know, if you're looking for that long shot, you know, maybe a team like Northern Kentucky at, I think it's 28-1 now after they won their opening round game against won their opening round game. So yeah, a couple that I have, but yeah, it's fun. Certainly, Gil, once we kind of get into, you know, more opportunities out there, I think the SEC is going to be a fun one to bet in the futures market. Once we get the bracket out, because I don't know how you think, but like, I find it hard to believe that a team like Auburn or Alabama or Tennessee, teams that are trending towards a one line, are going to be like, you know what? We should go win 3 games in 3 days and burn ourselves out in the toughest conference in the country. So I think, you know, a team like Arkansas could be interesting. You know, some of these bubble teams could be fascinating once we get the bracket unveiled, I believe, this weekend for the SEC and look at that futures market.
It's going to be awesome. And you're right. There's going to be some motivational things to think about. Do you agree with Jay Billis? It's the greatest top to bottom college basketball conference in history.
It's up there. I mean, and probably in this century, I think that's safe to say. I know that the ACC in the late 90s at the peak of its powers, but they didn't have, you know, 16 teams.
That's
so I
right.
would agree to that extent, you know, right. We've got 13 teams that are probably going to be in the NCAA tournament. You know, when we, you know, think about those, you know, vintage Raycom ACC games that you and I used to watch on UPN 50 there in the nation's capital, you know, it was 9 deep. So that I would agree that when you look at this conference from top to bottom, look, you're always going to have some kind of cellar dwellers. But let's be honest. I mean, South Carolina, a team that is the worst team in the conference, I mean, they went out the last two Saturdays and they smashed Texas and they smashed Arkansas. So South Carolina is a bit of a capable team, even though they're the cellar dweller there. So, yeah, I think from top to bottom, there's a very strong argument to say that the SEC is the best conference we've ever seen, especially with 16 teams a part of it.
Raycom, I'm a little older than you. I can remember the Jefferson Pilot Network with Jim Thacker and Billy Packer before his national days. Anything today, it's full-day college basketball. Well, there's a few day games. Tomorrow, there's more day games. Anything besides the Norse plus the points against Cleveland State? Anything else?
Yeah, the one game that's just that's staring at me. We do, by the way, worth the PSA, and I have not jumped on the UC San Diego Tritons train, as they have covered 11 straight and they're 23-5 ATS. They're laying 22.5 tonight, just putting that out there. But I will stay in that conference, the Big West Conference. I think we have a really fun one tonight. I took the points with UC Riverside as a short home dog against CSU Northridge. This is really essentially battle for the number two seed in this Big West tournament, which is important because you could get, I believe, a double bye to the semifinals. So I'll take Riverside as a slight home dog as the play against the Matadors of CSU Northridge. Should be a fun one late night to sweat there in the Big West.
By the way, before you go, because you mentioned the Tritons of UCSD, realistically, you think they can win a couple games in the Big Dance?
Yeah, if they get the right matchup. I mean, look, I think Michigan is very vulnerable. They could be a 5 seed. I just think for UC San Diego, who's become kind of the talk of our circle, the gambling world, because of how well they've done from a covering standpoint, they have to win their conference. Their resume is not strong enough to get in as an at-large, and UC Irvine is a really, really good team. So they've got to win their conference, but if they get in, I think they could do some damage for sure.
The Fighting Wine Gardens of UC Irvine, as we all know them. Tim, thank you. Appreciate it as always.
All right, see you, man.
Tim Murray at one Tim Murray. That's with the number one. The host of VSiN Primetime. We'll come back. Crack. Unscripted. Bill Krakenberger. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.